Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Every fall since 1976, Dances of India, one of the oldest classical Indian dance companies in the U.S., has wowed audiences with productions that combine dance and narrated storytelling. The inspiration for this year's originally written script is an ancient Indian epic, the Mahabharata.
Our tale is one of the oldest tales in the world. It is a story of jealousy, of the longing for power, of the delusion of greed.
And that tale's themes resonate in current-day conflicts near and far, posing questions about illusion, reality, and truth. Narthana Premachandra is president of Dances of India. She joins us now to talk about writing and narrating this year's production of Dreams of the Dark Prince, the tale of Duryodhana from the Indian epic, the Mahabharata. Narthana, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Alina. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Narthana, what is the Mahabharata?
The Mahabharata is one of the world's great epics. It was compiled between, it's hard to say exactly, but between 300 BCE, 300 AD. But it refers to events that happened much before that. Mm-hmm. And in the Mahabharata, there is a great war, a great battle. And, I should say, it is the world's longest poem. Mm-hmm. So there is said to be 100,000 verses in it. And it's a wonderful, wonderfully complex saga in which, quite honestly, everything that happens in the world right now is in the Mahabharata. Mm-hmm. And the great battle in the Mahabharata can be read on different levels. And one level it can be read on is the battle in your mind for consciousness. And that's where the Bhagavad Gita comes in, the Song of God, which is what a lot of Westerners know about the Mahabharata. They will know that. Otherwise, they don't know anything else about the story at all. Mm-hmm. And it's not studied in the U.S. at all unless you take college-level Asian lit classes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in writing your own production then about mm-hmm. this epic, and it's just a very small selection of this very, very long epic, mm-hmm. what is it that you discovered about it that maybe you hadn't known before? Or was there something that came out to you as you were reading parts of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always known the basic story of it because as kids we all learned our Hindu mythology and stories and histories from these wonderful comic books that came out at the end of the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I learned so much of it. But then reading over it as an adult, there's so many wonderful lessons in there about your dharma, which is finding your path in life and how difficult that is and how subtle that is. And then, but more recently, in the last 10 years, just thinking a lot about truth and illusion and the difference between both and how, especially nowadays, within our world of social media and online everything, there's mm-hmm. illusion everywhere. And to distinguish that from truth is a real battle every day. We all fight.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We certainly know that in journalism, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You typically begin writing these productions, Narthana, about a year before the fall performance. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, about last year, mm-hmm. what aspects of this Indian epic felt especially timely?
So our performance this year, our 47th annual performance, is on November 8th through 10th. Mm-hmm. And that is occurring days after the 47th U.S. presidential election.
Right.
So once we got the dates from the theater, the Skip Bira Center for the Arts, they give us the dates that work. And once we got the dates, I thought, we have to do a story about truth and illusion and power and greed, I mean, which is all part of politics nowadays, right? And so I guess it's always been, but so that's what struck me as so right. And then, so then the question is, what aspect of the Mahabharata do you tell? I mean, it's a gigantic story. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly how, I don't know, maybe just the idea of the character of Duryodhana came to me. He's a prince in the Mahabharata. And from the very beginning, he's extremely jealous of his cousins. So Duryodhana's father is brother of his cousins, the Pandavas. Mm-hmm. So the Pandavas are the heroes in this epic. And Duryodhana is always jealous of his cousins. And he is the primary instigator of this great war, which archaeologists, historians say it probably did happen, although it may not have been as big as it is in the epic. Mm-hmm. And that just depends on the scholar you read. But the idea of someone instigating this war, honestly, I really thought of Putin and Ukraine. I really did a lot. Because it's a battle between cousins over territory.
Mm-hmm. And have events in the U.S. and then conflicts in other places around the world, like Sudan, Haiti, right, Gaza, have those affected the way that you have approached this production, maybe talked about it with other people?
Yeah. When I try to describe what the Mahabharata is, because as I mentioned, most people don't know, and I say it is ultimately, it's this battle. It's a battle within a family. In the epic, the Mahabharata, the heroes, I mean, they have to kill their own cousins. And there's one scene in the battle, which we don't show in our production, where the Pandava hero Arjuna, he lays down his arms because he says, I can't kill my own family. And so this is what's so striking, you know, when we think of the wars in the world right now, whether in Gaza or Sudan or...
I'd like to introduce another voice to our conversation. Isaiah DiLorenzo is a St. Louis actor who plays the title character in this year's Dances of India production. And again, that's Dark Prince. Isaiah, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having us.
So this character, what is it that you make of Prince Duryodhana, especially when it comes to, you know, making him recognizable or even relatable?
I don't have to worry about that so much. The fact that it was written sort of from my character's perspective sort of builds that in. So I can trust that and just act as a presence on stage for the audience to see through my eyes and through my experience. And that's kind of unique to play the, you know, quote unquote villain of the story, but it's kind of from my perspective. So that's one of the things that makes this project so delicious, you know? Yeah.
And how is it that you came into this production? I mean, Nartana, did you have to pitch it to him? Did you audition for this knowing that it would be that kind of character?
I had the privilege of dancing for Narthana's mother years and years ago when I was fresh out of college. She was an instructor at Stevens College. She taught us classical East Indian dance for a semester. And then she had me come in to St. Louis to perform in one of the productions then. And I don't know how Narthana saw me or was aware of me.
Facebook. It was on Facebook.
Social media.
Yeah.
So I guess you became aware that I was still on stage.
Yeah.
And so I was, I was immediately interested. I was immediately on board because not only the privilege of entering into a space that's completely otherworldly, that is dance and East Indian classical, but an opportunity to use that movement training on stage, which I often feel like I have to sneak into other roles that I perform in straight theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nartana, for those who are not familiar with Indian classical dance, what is it that makes it particularly well-suited to presenting these themes that you've mentioned around illusion and reality and truth in Dreams of the Dark Prince?
That's a very interesting question. So classical Indian dance has at its heart storytelling, and we tell stories with our hands and with our expressions. Many people who do yoga know about mudras, which are the hand gestures, and they have different meanings. And then it's done to a song that's sung in one of several classical English languages, whether Sanskrit or Tamil from the south or other languages. But for the past few years, I guess it's almost 15 years now, I've been writing productions where I write and narrate the story and we put it over music. And sometimes it's Western music. The first time we did this was actually, we did a production called Rhapsody for the Blue Gods, where I love George Gershwin and Rhapsody in Blue. And I told the story of Krishna and Rama, the blue-skinned deities in Hinduism, over that music. And it really worked. I mean, it sounds wild, but it really worked. Mm-hmm. So since then, we've been doing this. So in Dreams of the Dark Prince, the music we use, there's some classical and also a little bit of fusion, like classical with some modern touches.
Mm-hmm. So having an opportunity, Isaiah, you said you were sneaking in dance or movement in other roles that you played. Being able to just go full out with this, I mean, what has that experience been like in rehearsal for it, you know, even before the performance itself?
Honestly, I feel like I'm more receiving than going full out. You know, there's so much dance going on around me by these brilliant young dancers, and they're so specific that the work is really being done for me. I mean, and I don't have that technical facility that they do, and I don't think it's appropriate for me to try at this point. And so my job is to be present and to receive all this dance and all this rhythm and all this expression that's so abundant around my character. You know, like I'm taking a different sort of approach to this role. It's as though I was dropped on another planet, you know, and it's wild and it's interesting.
What kinds of conversations have you had with people about this play and its themes, given sort of the historical moment we're in now?
I try not to get too personal or political in my approach, because I think that's for the audience to interpret or to mm-hmm. receive. I feel like my job is to lay it out in the clearest, most kind of elemental way for audiences to interpret as best suits them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nartana, you were nodding as Isaiah was talking about sort of taking, I guess you could say, his viewpoint out and mm-hmm. letting the audience sort of make their own decisions about what they're seeing. Is that also something that you had in mind as you were working on this particular production?
Oh, yes, very much. Yeah, yeah. Because the Mahabharata itself is subject to debate. The themes of illusion, truth, dharma, what is the right dharma? These are complex questions, and they are subject to debate. So I've let Isaiah play the character as he feels best. Mm-hmm. One beautiful thing about Duryodhana, but that makes him so compelling, is that he's incredibly honest about himself. Mm-hmm. He admits how he is jealous and of his cousins, and he wants more, and he wants more power. He's very honest. And I think Isaiah does that really well. Mm-hmm. And I've just left that interpretation up to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many people are involved in this production? For example, how many mm-hmm. will be on stage?
I think there are about 25 in the whole production. Mm-hmm. And we are an intergenerational company, so we do work with young dancers as well. And we always add elements of humor and fun to it, you know, because this it's a complex tale, but it has to be fun because fun and humor are part of life as well.
Right.
And so that's in there. We have comic characters. Another very famous story, perhaps the most famous story in Hindu mythology, is about the princess Draupadi, who is the wife of the Pandavas. And in a seminal scene, Duryodhana sends his brother to take off her sari, to disrobe it, because she's been won by Duryodhana in a game of dice.
Mm-hmm.
And the sari continues and continues and continues. It's due to Krishna's blessing, but that can be read on different ways as well. Krishna, in our production, actually, anyone who reads the Mahabharata, some people will think of Krishna as God, but actually, he was a prince, according to archaeologists, a real chieftain and a diplomat between these two sides.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read it as you wish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as we close here, Nartana, mm-hmm. when your father came to St. Louis uh-huh. in the 1970s, he had a dream to introduce Indian culture to the region and to make Indian dance accessible mm-hmm. for all audiences, that is. So what does it mean to you, to see that dream realized and to continue that mission?
Oh, it's amazing. He actually came to North America much earlier in the 1956. He came to North America. He came to St. Louis in the 60s. And I think after he married my mom, he really realized how beautiful dance is. She's been a dancer her whole life. And he really wanted to share this with the whole St. Louis community.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that we can continue this 10 years on in ways he never would have imagined, through having an actor and all that, it's just incredibly fulfilling.
Nartana Premachandra is president of Dances of India and writer and narrator of this year's production, Dreams of the Dark Prince. Isaiah DiLorenzo is an actor who plays the titular character in this production. Isaiah and Nartana, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with the performances next week.
Thank you, Elaine. It's been so great to be here.
Thanks.
The 47th Annual Dances of India performance takes place at 7 p.m. on November 8th and 9th at Chaminade College Prep School. You can find ticket information at our website, that's stlonair.show.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.